I'm Danny Brown, and you're listening to Life Through a Dram.
Welcome to Life Through a Dram, where Danny Brown shares his take on life, being a better person, and appreciating the here and now, all accompanied by a dram and a fine single malt whiskey. And now, here's your host, Danny Brown.
Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Life Through a Dram. This week, I'm enjoying Knockintoshian, the 12-year-old or the 15, I can't recall. I'd have to check the bottle, I apologise. But this was the one I'd mentioned a few shows ago that my good friend Sam Fiorella had introduced me to. And it's a nice peaty, you know, Islay whiskey. I'm really going to have to get back into the Speyside whiskies and share some of these with you because I realise I've been doing nothing but drinking mostly Islay whiskies for the last few episodes. So let's experiment with some newer ones in upcoming shows. Anywho, Shlangivar. Today, I want to talk about loyalty. And not really the brand loyalty that you normally talk about in business. You know, when you're looking, I'm a marketer. So when I talk about loyalty in business, I'm talking about brand loyalty and consumers and how they're loyal to brands after the sale and vice versa, how the brands are loyal to the consumer. But from a personal point of view, I want to talk about the loyalty that comes when you change your mindset or you open up your mindset and you open up your eyes to a different, you know, feeling or a different approach. For example, for the longest time, I was always a Samsung guy when it came to phones. I'd never been on I'd never been on iPhone, although I use a Mac. Go figure. And I use iPods, but I never really got into the iPhone as a phone. It's just, I don't know, my wife's got an iPhone. I just found it really clunky to use. Just that's me maybe, but I just never got into it. But anywho, I've always been a Samsung guy when it comes to Android. And I mean, before that, I'd never really been loyal to any brandy phone. I just used what was beneficial and useful to me at that time. So I switched from, you know, Nokia to BlackBerry to Motorola, pretty much every brand under the sun, depending what I needed at that given time. Then I got a Samsung, I think it was an S3 maybe that I got, and I was hooked. There was just something about the Samsung, the Android, the Google ecosystem. Because I use a lot of Google apps, like I use Gmail, Google Docs, the Google Suite, etc. The way that the Android phone ties into that ecosystem just makes sense. So basically, after I got that S3, I was hooked and pretty much stuck with a Samsung for at least, I don't know, 4 or 5 years maybe. But then my phone died. And when I say died, I mean I dropped it and the screen cracked and I couldn't use it at all. So yeah, the phone died. That's my excuse. But anyway, so I was on a new network and that it wasn't restricted to certain phones or contracts, etc. You could basically bring an unlocked phone to that network. So I thought, you know what? I love my Samsungs, but I'll have a look around. I know there's been a lot more phones come out since with new features, etc. So, you know, I'll check the market out. And my research at that time brought me to the Asus Zenfone 4. And I did a bit more research on it. I liked the specs. I liked the features, etc. Tried it out at my local Best Buy. And I really liked it. You know? So I took the plunge, got the Zenfone 4, and I loved it. It was everything that a high-end phone should be, but it was only half the price. You know, instead of paying, say, $800-900 for a Samsung, I was only paying, I think I paid for this one, I think I paid maybe $400. And then when that eventually died, I moved up to the Zenfone. I think now I'm on the Zenfone 5Q, if I recall. And again, I only paid about $500 for that. And it's easily on par with the Samsung S8 and some of the other high-end, you know, like the OnePlus 6T, for example. It's easily on par with these guys. So I'm really glad that I made the switch to Asus. Same last year when I went to the movies. I went to see the Justice League movie. And I'm a Marvel guy. My friend Sam, that I mentioned earlier, my whiskey friend, he's very much a DC guy. I'm more a Marvel guy. Always have been. I appreciate that DC make darker stories and darker heroes, if you like. But I've just always been a Marvel guy. But anyhow, I saw the trailer for the Justice League movie, and it looked good, I have to admit. So I thought, okay, you know what? I've typically stayed away from the DC Universe movie timeline, etc. But this looks good. So, and Zack Snyder made it. So I was kind of concerned, because up until that time, after his early glories with the likes of 300, he'd made some turkeys, you know, leading up to the Justice League movie. So I was kind of wary, and early reviews were pretty scathing as well. So I thought, you know what, I'm not going to expect much. If I enjoy it as a Saturday night movie, then money well spent. But I was so wrong that the movie was fantastic. It had a great story, really cool ensemble cast that had excellent chemistry with each other. You could see them enjoy, and I can't, you know, I didn't see the behind the scenes or whatever, but the on-screen chemistry looks like they really got on well behind the scenes and had a great time making the movie. And it also weaved in today's climate, you know, so there was nods to racism, there was nods to isolationism, and nods to despair and humanity. And that's pretty much a lot of where, you know, the world is today, and a lot of the things that we have to counter and combat and fight against. So it was nice to see this modern day world issue, you know, make it into a superhero story arc. And for me, this was what the Avengers Civil War movies lacked, you know, or the Captain America Civil War. The Civil War movie felt like a bunch of individuals coming together, whereas the Justice League movie actually felt like a true team up on screen. So again, you know, I'd almost let loyalty sway my decision before I'd even seen the movie. And so I'm glad I went to see it. It really changed my mind. And this year I went to see Aquaman, blew my mind. It was amazing. One of the best superhero movies I've seen in a while, up there with Black Panther. So, you know, it just shows you that if we put misplaced loyalty in front of us, we could miss out on a lot of things. And in a way, I mean, brand loyalty and personal loyalty are pretty much alike. You know, we find someone or something to offer loyalty to, and we can lose focus because of that loyalty. And especially when loyalty turns into blind loyalty, and how that can really impact your vision and how you see people, the world, and everything around you. I recall there was, like, many years ago, maybe mid-20s, late 20s maybe, I was in a relationship that was clearly over. We were sleeping in separate beds. It was like two friends living together or sharing a house, and that was it. And it wasn't even the greatest of friendships if it comes down to, you know, that sort of example of us being friends, sharing a house. But there were a lot of warning signs that I either didn't see or chose not to. So we stayed together, and it was awful, like really, really bad. And I mean, you know yourself, if you've ever tried to excuse something that's wrong just because you want it to be right. And that doesn't have to be just relationships or anything like that. It can be anything where you know something's wrong, but you're trying to make excuses that it can be right. So, I mean, all my friends, they were telling me that it was wrong. My family, they were worried for my health because I was so stressed out with this relationship that it was starting to take both a physical and mental toll, and I was like tired, etc. And my other half, like, she even probably, looking back, you know, she probably saw the fact that I was loyal and the effect that either it was having on me or what she could get away with, etc. And she played up to that, and she reinforced how I was feeling and how it was making me feel, and took advantage. And that should have been another warning sign, really. So, I mean, if you have, you know, been in a situation like that, you'll know the devastating effects it can have, both short-term and long-term. you know, like it's not getting any better. And I often compare it to a sinkhole. When you see a sinkhole on the street and it opens up, and you refuse to fill the sinkhole with logic, sense, and clarity. So the sinkhole doesn't get repaired. The relationship, like the sinkhole, gets worse until you basically can't get out, or it's really, really hard to get out. And then you break. You just finally break. You can't take any more. And the recovery from that break, you know, when you've reached the end of your tether, the limits have been broken, the recovery from that takes even more strength. That again tires you out, makes you just want to stay at home. And because of that, you miss out on things that could have been so much more to you, you know, with new friends, new relationships, new experiences, new adventures. And this is like true for friendship and work, as well as family, as well as love. You know, we make our own bonds and we make our own choices. But the bonds that we make, we sometimes use the wrong kind of glue to try keep these bonds together, all in the name of loyalty. I watched a friend literally die from loyalty many moons ago. He was an ex-junkie. He'd kind of won his battle, then he relapsed, and he was with the wrong people at a time in his life that he could ill afford to be. He'd gone through a personal family loss, so that had left him vulnerable. And although we tried to help, his loyalty was with those who'd been around him at the darker times in his previous life. So his dealer became his confidant as opposed to his friends. His dealer became his loyal friend as opposed to us. His dealer became his go-to shoulder to cry on as opposed to those, you know, who really cared about him. And, I mean, of course, my friend, he couldn't see that less loyalty that his dealer was given to him. It was only there because it came attached to money for solutions to the pain and the solutions that the dealer sold. Whether my friend realized that or not, I'll never know. His loyalty went with him to his early grave at 28, I think he was, when he died. So young, too young, you know. And it's just, again, it's the wrong kind of loyalty. It's the wrong kind of glue. It's the wrong bonds to the wrong people. I mean, loyalty is difficult. There's so many things vying for it that it makes so many things can go wrong. You know, if you pick up on the wrong kind of loyalty, if you attract the wrong kind of loyalty, or if you're attracted to the wrong kind of loyalty. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, there is something that's inherently good about loyalty. You know, after all, who doesn't want to be the one that others count on and never let down, right? But because there's something inherently good about loyalty, it makes it easier to screw up. You know, it's that yin-yang and it's that irony kicking into effect when something that is so good is so easy to screw up. But, you know, that's okay because none of us are perfect. I mean, hell, I continue to hurt those I love, even when I try, you know, and make it the last thing I ever do. It's not being deliberate about when I do something that hurts people I love. It's just bad decision making. But because these people are loyal to me, it hurts them and I mess up. And I have to continue working on that and ensuring that their loyalty is well placed and rewarded, you know? And pain comes with loyalty. But if pain can come from loyalty, so can softness, you know? And if softness can come from loyalty, so can repair and love and acceptance. And that's what we got to work on, especially when we realize that being loyal to ourselves will reflect the loyalty we both give and receive. If we can say to ourselves that we want to be this kind of person, we want to achieve this kind of legacy, you know, for when we eventually leave this planet, we want to do this, that, X, Y. If we can make these promises to ourselves and stay true and loyal to them, that will reflect on us and that will give back to the people that are loyal to us. And then we can both give and receive the loyalty that each of us deserve. Now, it may not cure bad choices, you know, and we still may, you know, misplace loyalty now and again. So it's not a cure for these bad choices overnight. But if we can start working on that and really start focusing and laser focusing our attention on being worthwhile of loyalty given to us and being true to the loyalty that we offer to others. So at least it's a start on being a better person and making sure that we're using the right kind of glue, isn't it? Anywho, guys, I hope you've enjoyed my message this week. If you enjoy the show, by all means, please leave me a review on iTunes. That's always worth an extra slangevar from me. And share it with your friends if you feel that they'd enjoy the show. You know, it's always nice to talk to new people and hear from new people. Until next weekend, I'm off to the cottage this weekend, so I'm going to switch off and enjoy my downtime with my family. I hope your weekend is amazing and the rest of your week too. Until we speak the next time, guys, take care and slánchivar.
This has been Life Through a Dram. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode.